HarperCollins presents Normal Women, 900 Years of Making History by Philippa Gregory. Read by Philippa Gregory with Claire Corbett, Tanya Rodriguez, Neka Okoye, James Good, and Joe Jameson. Introduction. I first had the idea for this book around the time that I wrote The Other Boleyn Girl, when I found a woman, Mary Boleyn, who made her own remarkable life, but enters history only as the sister to the more famous Anne. She made me think of all the other women whose names and stories are lost, and even the stories my mother told me about growing up during the war years, of her mother, who did not dare to be a suffragette, of her aunt, a scholar who could not graduate from an English university, of the letters she edited, written by her kinswoman, an 18th-century feminist. This book is about them, and all the women, who lived faithfully a hidden life and rest in unvisited tombs. The first schools in England were church schools, and the first scholars were priests, so the first historians were men like the Venerable Bede, who wrote The Ecclesiastical History of the English People in AD 731, naming only 18 women in their own right from a population of about 1 million. That's 0.0018%, statistically invisible. There are only 6 chronicles surviving from the early medieval period, all written by men, mostly about the kings and their wars, and these are the basis of all the histories of the period. They set a tradition. A History of the English-Speaking Peoples, by Winston Churchill, published in the 20th century, is a description not of the peoples, but of English-speaking men. 1,413 named men and just 98 named women. What we read as a history of our nation is a history of men, as viewed by men, as recorded by men. Is 93.1% of history literally his story, because women don't do anything? Are women so busy with their biology that they have no time for history, like strict timetable choices? You can't do both. The only women of interest to the male record keepers were mothers, queens, taxpayers, and criminals. The records are all written by men, mostly men of the church, and they have little or no interest in women. Women are there, making fortunes and losing them, breaking the law and enforcing it, defending their castles in siege and setting off on crusades, but they're often not recorded or mentioned only in passing by historians, as they were just normal women, living normal lives, not worthy of comment. Medieval women only enter the records when the record keepers complain of them, when they are accused in the church courts of adultery or promiscuity, when they are named in the records as gossips, when they appear in the criminal courts charged with thieving or usury or fraud, when they are registered as prostitutes or kidnapped. They're often named as rioters. Each time land was enclosed, women in England broke fences, trespassed, poached, reclaimed the common land. Every hungry year, they broke into bakers, corn mills, or the barns where grain was stored for export and divided it among the crowd and paid the right price. Sometimes the local priest or magistrate would arrive and oversee the weighing and the selling. If the bakers or the merchants resisted, windows might be broken and food might be stolen, but usually everyone understood that the poor women, women whose names were not even recorded, were price-setting and rationing food. Then, in the 18th century, the mood changed. Merchants and the landowners stopped appeasing the crowd, and the women were named as troublemakers, identified in the court records and their harsh punishments recorded. Part of my work in writing a history of normal women has been...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?